Welcome to episode number 51, Team Building Leadership.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you are now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Lee Velez. I'm here with Heck, Gabe, and we have a special guest, Joe Colon.
Everybody.
Yeah, this episode is titled Team Building Leadership. In this episode, we have special guest Joe Colon, team building leadership expert. The crew discusses what it means to be a true leader. Joe Colon explains what team building means and its importance of building a successful business. We discuss motivation and how to effectively use personal development. We get an expert's advice on true mentorship and close the discussion with an opportunity to build wealth. We wrap the episode up with quotes from Warren Bennis and Andrew Carnegie. As usual, we like to kick things off with a definition from dictionary.com, and today we are defining the term leadership, and they define it as the position or function of a leader, a person who guides or directs a group. So, segment number one, we are about to drop a story as we normally do, except we're going to give it a little twist. This time, we are tapping into our poetic nature, so to speak, and we're about to drop a poem by Ella Wheeler Wilcox, titled Life Makes Way for the Determined. And it goes like this: there is no chance, no destiny, no fate, no circumvent or hinder or control the firm resolve of a determined soul. Gifts count for nothing. Will alone is great. All things give way before it soon or late. What obstacle can stay the mighty force of the sea-seeking river in its course, or cause the ascending orb of day to wait? Each well-born soul must win what it deserves. Let the fool prate of luck. The fortunate is he whose earnest purpose never swerves, whose slightest action or inaction serves the one great aim. Ella Wheeler Wilcox's poem's titled Life Makes Way for the Determined. Well, after hearing that poem, I mean, what is even derived from that? From, you know, the determination of the human power, I guess. Joe, you have anything to say about that poem?
I'm not the best with poems, but what I gathered from it is just a determined person with tunnel vision. I mean, it's just nothing's going to get in the way. Nothing's going to stop them. Nothing's going to stop him or her, actually. And you're going to hit adversity, but at the end of the day, it's all going to be worth it. You're going to reap the rewards.
Yeah, and then I like how she says something about will, and she says something about the gifts. In previous episodes, we talked about people who have all the talent in the world, and there's actually a book by John C. Maxwell titled Talent Is Never Enough, and it kind of goes over exactly what she's saying. If you have a determined outlook, and even on the episode 50 from last week titled The Foundation, I talk about being determined and making things happen by just applying yourself and using your resources appropriately and the best that you can. And that is what is, you know, your power. That is your strength. It's not necessarily the talent. It's not necessarily just, you know, the will. You can impose your will to a certain extent, right? But life is going to smack you upside the head so hard anyway. So it's kind of arrogant of us to think that we can have things in life itself pan out the way we envision it.
No, absolutely.
Although that's not to say, you know, we shouldn't have, you know, visions and stuff like that. But so moving right along. So, Joe, we have you here, right? You're the team building leadership expert. Just right off the rip, what does the word, I know we defined leadership, but what does the word leadership mean to you, if you could?
Leadership to me, it's actually locking arms, walking side by side. I mean, helping out whoever you can. I mean, I'm not a boss. I don't treat anybody like I'm a boss. I just try to help people as best as I can by not telling them what to do, but trying to lead them in the right direction on what to do.
Yeah, for sure. I think all of us but Gabe are fathers here, and even just like the simple way of thinking of a family, you know, like the lineage, the kids watching everything that you do, right? Go yep. back to the quote that we at this point abuse because we use it so much, but it's so applicable, it makes sense to say every time. What you do speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say.
Yeah.
So we can tell people what to do so much, but if we're not leading by example and showing them the way, that is called ineffective communication.
Yeah.
Don't expect it to work.
And yeah. even like in the home business we dealt with for a while, was that like your people that you are leading are going to do a portion of what you do anyway. So.
Yeah. I remember we were told that whatever you do, your people, your team, your group would do half. Or if you could just get into that mentality. So that would just create yourself to be basically a beast.
Is that what you want them to, if you're the leader, you want them to at least do half?
No. No. Yeah, that's your mentality. Only expect them to do half. If you're the leader, you can't expect them to do more than you. If they do, that's fantastic. Then you got a beast on your hands. Okay. But if they don't... they're going to go half the speed you are.
It's just
a saying for you to like get you in that mentality to do more because your people are going to do more. Right. The more you do, the more your people will do, basically.
Yeah. That's like one of our main things is lead by example. We would never tell somebody to do something that we're not doing. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So Joe, you have, a really cool background before you got into your home-based business. Can you just give us like a brief bio of, where you're coming from, and how you got started and what exactly you do?
I'm Joe Colon. I'm a father of two. I'm a husband of a awesome wife, Janine. And before my home-based business, I was just working full-time at a sewer plant. And you know what? My wife brought this opportunity. My wife brought the opportunity and... I was skeptical. I was the macho man saying, hey, I'll do what I do. You do what you do. But after seeing her after 2 years or so, I decided that I wanted to get into this too. And it's from there we just took off. So
nice. So you were the
macho man.
The macho man, as you referred. Where you weren't negative though. You just didn't want to do it. It just didn't pique your interest. It was just... Or you just thought that it was just something that you would never do.
I was skeptical, to be honest. I mean, I thought it was one of them things. You know what I mean? Them things like nobody can work from home. That's fake. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get a 9-to-5 to get money. But I quickly realized that was wrong.
So at what point was it? You said that she was building the business for 2 years. At what point? For you, was it that was kind of, okay, this is legit. Not only is this legit, I want to, be a part of this.
It was when we have our home seminars, nutrition seminars.
Yeah.
I would hear her I heard her purpose. Usually I would go in the room. I wouldn't want nothing to do with it or anything like that. And then one time I stayed out there and I heard her purpose and it was to bring me home. And I thought to myself, I'm like, man, I'm being such a
selfish.
I'm being a jerk. I don't want to hear it out. And she's over here trying to retire me at the age of 30. And I'm like, you know what? Let me hear this out. So I heard it out a little bit more and I got real interested. And, from there, it just became my passion just as much as it's her passion.
That's awesome. Wild. That's so you're so just awesome. Sitting there, right? I mean, I know Joe, we know Joe personally, but he's a really good guy. But I don't care how good of a person you are, you had to feel like hell when you're just sitting there.
And then hearing your wife telling you, I'm trying to retire him. I'm like, damn, what is going on
here? Yo como un pendejo, eh?
I definitely felt like crap. I'm like, man, this is my wife's trying to bring me home. I'm over here, don't want to hear nothing. I'm being have my ego wall up. I don't want to hear nothing about it. So, but that came crashing down real quick after I heard that.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So then you guys locked arms, you start building the business together. Where did the transition happen? Where you went full time? Cause I know you kind of bridged over, which is a smart thing to do. But at one point, you're full time. So how'd that happen, or what's the story?
Well, April of 2016, I was supposed to. We had plans to leave my job. I mean, we passed my income. We passed both of our incomes by a significant amount. So it was April of 2016. I was supposed to come home, but unfortunately, October of 2015, I got fired. I mean, some stupid stuff I did, and I fess up to it, but I got fired, and I came home a little bit earlier than I was supposed to, so that was kind of like a shock for me, and her. I mean, it was just the change. I was scared of the change. Now, I had my routine for 9 years, and it's just to hop into my plan B so quick. I wasn't really ready for it, but you know, I had to take it by the horns, because I didn't want to go back to work and have somebody else tell me what to do besides my wife.
So man, that is brutal, because when you think about it, just think about tomorrow. I hope this doesn't happen to anybody, but it's like your security blanket, so to speak, was there, even though you had plans to, you know, move forward with this going full time. But the fact that it happened, whatever that is, 7 months earlier, 6 months earlier than anticipated, that is definitely a scary thing. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how much money you are making on the other side, because it's everyone's taught this traditional way of earning an income outside of being an entrepreneur, right? So you have this thing, whether you go to school or not, it doesn't matter. You go to work and, you know, you build on someone else's dream to bring home a paycheck just for enough time to then, you know, live out your dreams or whatever your plans are. You might work at a job for the next 40, 50, 60 years. But that's just what it is. That's it. That stigma or whatever it is just in your mind. Yep. And I feel like there should be a term for someone who's there is a term. It's called a wantrepreneur, but I don't like the term because it's like a negative thing. But there are people out there who are building their dream and are also working full time before they make that full end transition. Joe, I don't know. They might have a term for it nowadays. I mean, back when we were doing it, it was almost like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They called us wantrepreneurs, which was like, it is kind of funny, but
it's more, more a pejorative term, I guess.
Yeah. But you know what? It's intelligent. It's an intelligent transition. And you know what? It might not be for everyone. Just like taking the entire leap might not be for everyone. Yeah. It's whatever your comfort level is. But like Joe was saying, he had that, you know, even though they were making that money, it was still something about the security of a job that is embedded in us. It's not even necessarily true. It's a false security.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily true, right? I mean, it's this thing that's in the back of our minds. You think about it. Our kids are at school every single day for how many hours? 8. Okay, and what do they get to do in between that entire day? They have a lunch and they have 2 breaks. When you grow up, you work for 8 hours, you have lunch, you have 2 15-minute breaks. Yeah. What are they preparing for? You move when that bell rings, right? Yeah. You go to class to class to class, and you learn, and they teach you how to be a, quote, well-rounded person and give you the 4 major topics of discussion, and they'll throw in, like, arts and crafts and random stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you think they're preparing you to be a millionaire? Do you think they're preparing you to be, you know, to live out your dreams? No, they're preparing you to literally work for someone else, and we're in that state of mind. And what time do kids go to school? Oh, it just so happens to roundabout be the time we're all at work as well. Exactly. And it's fascinating because it's true. But if you actually stop and you think about it, then they tell us you have to go back to school, right? In a traditional sense, go back to school, pay a bunch of money to learn more.
So then you go to a job and then pay that off for the rest of your life.
It's the definition of a catch-22. Joe, so What do you guys say about that, you know, for people who have such a high level of security when it comes to the 9-to-5 job? And a lot of times, I know that the feedback we would always get was, but I have like my retirement plan in there. I get a pension, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, here we are in 2017, and I'm going to family functions and family parties, and people are telling me that they're what they've been paying into, like their pension is not going to be there, and they're supposed to retire in like 5 years.
Yeah.
So here you are, your whole entire life, you've been paying into this this scam, really.
Yeah.
And believing one thing, and your security blanket has a lot of holes in it. All of a sudden, yeah. Joe, what's your take on this?
Honestly, it's like I don't. Like, well, for example, with our team, I mean, we tell them, I mean, it's your faith first, or your family, your job, and then what we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I tell them, people, like, listen, you're, like you said, you're building somebody else's dreams. I'm like, I mean, I'm not condoning that you go quit your job right away and go jump in, because that's scary. I mean, I wouldn't have did that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But if I didn't have a plan B,
right.
but it's just, like you said, it just bothers me that people they don't have like that mindset, that open mind to like, to build something on their own, to chase their own dreams. I mean, you're only here for a certain amount of time, and like, it's tough just working from a certain hour to a certain hour your whole life, and then when you get older you look back and that's all you did. I mean, you had a couple vacations here or there, this and that. Like what I do now, it's like I don't want to take a vacation from my job. It's like my job is a vacation. So I don't know, it's tough to ingrain that in people's heads, because, you know what I mean, that's how society is. But
yeah,
certain people will get it and certain people won't. That's all.
Yeah, we said that. We talked about that last week. Some will, some won't. So what? And it's just that mentality, though. If people can get just a small little glimpse, a small little taste of what it feels like to live a life of fulfillment and satisfaction. That's what that's success to me. Doing what you do, and you being having that feeling of fulfillment and satisfaction. You have something like worthy that you're doing.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis. And we all know one of our favorite parts of building a home-based business was building relationships with other people and help building on their dreams and putting our love, you know, onto their fears.
Yeah.
And kind of filling that gap, and where people thought that certain things were impossible, they're actually possible. And it was that camaraderie that we built around that. I think that's what built our, you know, brotherhood, so to speak. With that being said, Joe, what is your favorite part about, you know, building a team, number one, and then also building, you know, this empire from the comfort of your home?
Building a team is a camaraderie. Like you said, it's that the friendships. I mean, when I was in school, you know me, I had three friends.
Yeah.
But building a team, it's like you're my family now. It's like my kids are playing with your kids. I mean, we have at the end of the year, we have a picnic for our team. I mean, it's just great, because you just have family from all around. I mean, we have family. I mean, when I say family, I'm saying teammates.
Yeah.
It's we have family down in Florida. We have teammates in Jersey and New York, and it's just crazy how much it expands. And it's just new friends. I mean, I never really had as much friends as I do now as I did before. But business wise too, I mean, no alarm clock. That's the best part about building a business.
Yeah, man.
nah, seriously. Best part about building a business is, it's yours. It's your owner. It's something you could call your own. You know what I mean? It's like something. It's you. It's you that can make or break it. I mean, I don't have a boss. I mean, my wife's my boss all the time. That's that's without question. But it's, you're your own boss, and it's just the time freedom, all the freedom in the world. I mean, it could hurt you too if you get too comfortable, if you get too complacent with the freedom. But we don't let that get to us. So it's just basically it's the freedom and the camaraderie and the friendships.
So I remember when I graduated high school, right, and I went to Temple University, right? And for the first time, I was on my own, living on my own, you know, not really. It was really in a bubbled version of living on your own. But anyway, you got that sense of freedom and we started to like wild out and we had zero control, right? Joe, can you now explain to us, was at any point did you get kind of like carried away with this newfound freedom? Was it just like you had to like, you know, tame yourself? Because, you know, at first it's kind of like there's a story about Will Smith. When he started with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, when he started making like his, you know, the real money, when the show actually caught on, he blew like his first $10 million, like blew it. Like he couldn't account for any of it. He was just buying stuff and buying people things and buying people homes and buying these wild cars. And he got so sick to his stomach when his accountant told him how much he blew, that it reeled him in. And then I know for me, like my freshman year, I was out of control. Like my mom basically like had us on a diet, which we didn't really know we were even on a diet. It wasn't even a diet; it was just eating right. And then you go away to college, and you can eat whatever the world you want. Yeah. And boom, there goes 25 pounds. Well, that's in like freshman 3 months. Comes in. Yeah. Well, I put on like freshman 30. So, did you experience any of that, Joe? Was there any like kind of funny like?
To be honest, not really, because like I said, I got fired.
Yeah.
And I didn't do this. I didn't come home on my own will. So I was scared.
That grounded you really quick.
I was scared to not use my time in the correct manner. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was scared to like, oh, well, I got off every day now. I can hang out till 5 in the morning and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But no, I was scared to do that because I was actually – if I would have came home on my own will, I probably would have had some crazy stuff happening. But no, we're pretty plain and simple. We're boring.
Yeah. that's called disciplined. That's having a disciplined personality and having appropriate goals. But because there are people that, you know, do you get frustrated when you see those, you know, even if they're not scams, there's these people out there who make you feel that way because they're promoting this, you know, an opportunity the incorrect way, and it kind of just puts like this terrible like stigma or whatever on, you know, the home base stuff. Like, what is your take on when you see that? Because you see like a guy who's like 14 making $7 trillion, and you're like, dude, this is the most exaggerated story. Yeah. And I know when we were, you know, when we were building our business together, we kept running into, there was a guy on our own team that would do that. And we're like, stop lying to people.
Because he was making more than what he actually was.
Yeah. And it was like, dude, I'm like 3 levels above you. There's no way you're making what you're saying you're making.
Oh, jeez.
So people thought it was something, they thought it was a get rich quick.
Yeah.
So then they, you know, jumped on it and they said, oh, this ain't what it was. You guys lied to us. And here we dwindled it down that it was one guy making stuff up or whatever.
Gotcha. Sucks.
Joe, I'm sure, you know, you've encountered all this stuff. With those kinds of challenges that you face on a daily basis, what is your greatest challenge as a leader?
My greatest challenge as a leader is the responsibility. It's a lot of responsibility. I mean, you got a lot of teammates out there that are depending on you they're trusting you to lead you in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you have to do the right thing. Even when people aren't looking, you just have to keep on doing the right thing and just leading them in the right direction. I mean, there's nothing else I can really say. I mean, for them, other people that scam people and stuff like that. Yeah. We run into them, but you know what? The light shines on them every now and then. Yeah. So they see that it's not sustainable. I mean, me and my wife been in this for 4 years, strong, steady.
Yeah.
And that's all I really could say about that. It's like, you can't really pay too much attention to them guys. Let them roll to you.
To wrap that segment of the conversation up, it's not just, you know, this. We encounter the bull crappers of life in everything that we do. We have the bull crapping salesman who's selling me a car. We have the bull crapping guy, a real estate agent who's trying to, you know, sell me this house and is over promising and under delivering. Is there anything more grotesque than someone that over promises and under delivers.
I can't stand that.
It is the most obnoxious, nauseating, like, personality trait you can actually have.
Yeah.
And again, as we touched on last week, it's not something you want to build your foundation or and your circle of influence. You want to have anyone who's like that.
Yeah.
There's bullcrappers no matter where you go. Across the board, they're all over the place. Some do this, some do that, whatever. They're going to be there. It doesn't matter. It's just like, you know, that annoying person that complains about everything.
Oh, exactly.
They're going to be in every field. It doesn't matter. Joe, in working with people on a daily basis and building, you know, your empire, so to speak, you collect success stories.
Absolutely.
What does it mean to you? How do you process this? Because at my job, part of our rehab center in the hospital is to get people to from one level of acuity to the next, and we're trying to get them to a better, you know, a better acuity, so to speak. Anyway, we have success stories, meaning, you know, you get someone who didn't walk and was very unhealthy to a point where they're walking and bathing and doing everything themselves. And we call them success stories. And if you saw the smile on our physical therapist and our speech therapist and stuff like that, that level of like satisfaction it gives them. And they're the ones who write up these success stories and they go on the website and it is like fascinating to watch it unfold.
Yeah, it's awesome.
How does you do the same thing with your team? How does that like... How gratifying is that?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you just need in our business. I mean, that's half the battle is collecting success stories because not everybody's gonna resonate with my story that I lost 16 pounds or
true.
I'm a stay at home dad or whatever, and they're gonna say, "Oh, that's good for you."
Yeah.
But if you somebody that's a teacher or somebody that's I have somebody. One of my friends is a teacher that's doing what we're doing, and she just came home. I mean, I could use that story, or I could use somebody that, oh, well, my friend lost 100 pounds, and I could connect them with that story, or something easy as like to my friend gave up a pot of coffee a day. I mean, you just need the success stories because not everybody's going to resonate with you and your story. So you just need a whole collection of them, and that's just half the battle itself right there. I mean,
yeah. So I mean that we that is like something that, you know, absolutely. You saying that resonates just with me alone, because we always talk about even me trying to at this point, you know, bring people on to the podcast and explain to them like, oh, we had a DJ last, you know, check out episode number 40.
Yep.
Or we had somebody who was it like a in the music industry or whatever, yeah. Whatever the example is, we're connecting them to, you know, to hit that level of frequency that you were like, oh, okay, we're all on the same page here. I get it. Cause it's true. Not everyone's going to relate to me. Not everyone's going to relate to you, but at some level you need that connectivity.
Well, at least the principles, now the stuff that's going behind it is all the same. Exactly. Everybody can relate to at least that part of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you find the person you can personally relate to.
Exactly. So with all that being said and all the, you know, the gratifying feelings that you get from team building, when you sit back, you know, and you know, the fireplace is going and the kids are asleep and you and your wife are just, you know, talking or dream building, whatever, what is being talked about for the ultimate goal? What is your ultimate goal when you leave either this, you know, earth or whatever it is, what kind of, you know, you want to be stamped? I mean, it's like, yo, Joe did X, Y, and Z.
I want to have an impact. You know what I mean? I want to be significant. I want to, like, I want to mean something to somebody. I mean, just a year and a half ago, I spoke in front of like 2,500 people, and I shared my story, our success story. My wife shared hers or whatever, and then just like weeks later, even to a year later, there's people that came to our event and they just told me that, listen, like, I'm here because of you. You changed my life, this and that. And it's like, just hearing that alone, you can't put a price on that. You can't put a dollar sign on that. I love that feeling. Just having an impact, just to at least reach somebody out there in the crowd and just just change their whole direction of thinking and life in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So to piggyback on that, what's your motivation to get there?
It's just my purpose, my kids, my family. It's just, I think about them all the time. So it's like, I'm never going to stop. And just my purpose alone is just going to fuel me to keep on going. And just them stories like that, like when people come up to me and tell me that, hey man, I look up to you, you're doing great, and I wish I could be in your shoes, this and that. And I tell them, you can. I mean, I'm just a regular person from a small town. I was an introvert. I was shy. You know what I mean? Like, but I stepped out of my comfort zone. So, like, if I could do it, anybody could do it. So,
yeah. I remember one of the most, I don't know if it was challenging, intriguing, or what, but when I was going through kind of like a difficult time, working on my dream, so to speak, I remember a tip was given to me by, one of the coaches, and he said, he asked me, what's your why? And we kind of went over everything or whatever. It's, at that point, I think it was like, my future family. Mm-hmm. I want to, And he's like, is this fear bigger than your why? And dude, that messed me up for the rest of my life. Literally, obviously, I'm bringing it up right now because I think about it all the time. Yeah. So anytime I'm fearful of anything, right now, obviously it changed because my why has came in, into a sharper image. Because before it was like, I didn't have a kid, but I was doing it for my child. Yeah. Now I have a kid and all I do is picture my kid's face. And I'm like, whoa, is this fear bigger than what I would ever do for my child? Yeah. And that will mess you up, dude. I mean, you want to talk about being able to overcome things. Whoa. And it's a challenging thought too, because if you don't do it, woo, daddy, that'll mess you up.
Yeah. I think about that all the time. I'm like, I want to go talk to this guy at the gym or whatever. And I got to think to myself, hey, is that guy, whatever he thinks of you, is that bigger than your why right now? Is that more purposeful than your why? And I'm like, no, go talk to him. You know what I mean? What's the worst he could say now? So
that's still to this day one of the most amazing things and tips, advice that I've ever received. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're talking about the kids and I kind of wanted to transition to the whole family thing. Traditionally speaking, because we're so embedded in the Western culture to, get a job and support your family in that sense. How do you explain or how do you talk to your children about your unique lifestyle and
Well, at first it was a challenge because they were used to me being gone. I mean, 8 to 10 hours out of the day. So they wouldn't see me usually until like mid to late afternoon.
Yeah.
So, but when I came home, they would keep on asking me, hey, are you going to work? Are you going to work? I'm like, I am working. Me and mommy are working right now. Yeah. They're like, do you work at the gym? I'm like, no. it's kind of difficult to explain to them, but after they know what we do. They know the products we take. I mean, they're respectful of us. They love it. I mean, when we have our nutrition seminars, they ask for it all the time. Like, hey, are you guys having a seminar? Are you guys having a mixer? Because we want to play with the kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as like the compensation and stuff like that, we don't really tell them anything like that. I mean, they know that what we do pays for the toys, so they don't really ask. So, but, other than that, at first it was difficult, but then gradually they started to get it. My son, you know what I mean? He says to me, because I take him and my daughter every morning to work. He said, oh, can I do what you do when I grow up? This and that. I'm like, listen, I'm not putting no pressure on you. You could do whatever you want. You want to be an astronaut? You could be an astronaut. I'm like, I don't put no limitations on him, but he likes what we're doing. I mean, and my daughter too. They do workout videos and stuff like that. And
that's awesome.
Oh, me and my wife, me and Janine, we don't pressure them to do that. They see it. I mean, we're just leading by example. And they love it. I mean, they have no problems with it.
So speaking on that, obviously you touched upon a few things, how it has affected your family in a positive way. How has the dynamics, have the dynamics changed? And obviously you just said you take your kids to school now, which was something I'm assuming you didn't do, weren't able to do before because of work or your work hours or whatever. Is there anything else that is kind of like changed as like totally different from when you had a job?
Honestly, yeah. I think I'm just a better father and just a better husband overall. I mean, it changed me. Like when I used to work outside and cold weather and stuff like that, and I would come home miserable. Yeah. Like every time, like I wouldn't help my kids with their homework. I would go straight to the recliner, watch TV, go to sleep, and do it all over again. So now it's like I take my kids to school, I pick them up from school, we open up that folder, let's do homework, Joey, let's go out back, let's throw some balls, let's hit some balls, let's do whatever you want to do. I have that time freedom now. It's just been a blessing. So
going off of that, what is one, or do you have, I'm not sure if you have, do you have like a family goal? Like there's one thing to have personal goals. There's another thing to have goals with your spouse. Do you guys have like a family goal?
Yeah. Well, for me, I can't really speak for Janine, but for me, it's just when they grow up, I want them to be happy to whatever they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want them to be strapped down or stressed out, stuff like that. I want us to set that example to that they could do whatever they want without having to, you know what I mean, be strapped down or be stressed out. I want all of them to be happy. They don't have to do what we're doing. I mean, they could be doing something completely different. As long as they're happy, I'm happy. You know what I mean? I could imagine right now, like, I don't want to see my kids stressing out over money or a job or, you know what I mean, college or something like that. I want them to be happy to where they are.
Oh, all right. So anyway, so you and your wife work not only together, but work in close quarters. Mm-hmm. How do you guys, and you guys obviously have different personalities. How do you guys, what are maybe a challenge if there is one, or how was there a challenge and you guys kind of overcame that? Basically leading into how do you work together and how do you split the roles?
If there was any challenge, it was stemming from me. I mean, because then my ego came back up. I thought I knew what I was doing, but she's a phenomenal leader. So just me putting my ego aside again to follow her lead. You know what I mean? Because she's an outstanding leader. So why not learn from her? You know, it's just us men, like, it's hard to take direction from our wives, you know what I mean? So, but I had to look at the bigger picture, and then that was basically the only thing, man. I love working with her. I love being around her. It's like, it's just an awesome feeling. I mean, we go to gym together, and we don't argue. It's just weird. I mean, you think being together all the time, you would argue more, but I argued more with her when I was working at my other job than I do now, way more, like 99% more. So it's just, it's changed a lot.
And speaking on, you know, having a healthy relationship, your home-based business is based on, you know, health and financial health and obviously physical health. How has that changed you? Because I know that plays a role, obviously, because you're not, you know, you're focused on your health, you're eating properly, you're exercising, you guys are, you know, very healthy individuals, mm-hmm. above average when it comes to, you know, that aspect. How has that, you know, changed from where you were before?
Oh, it's changed a lot. I mean, I was a guy that was eating once a day and then going to work out, and that's about it. But now it's like
it's hysterical.
The heck?
Now it's like I'm looking at the clock, like, all right, I gotta get my six meals in. But now it's just, I mean, we're healthy and stuff like that, but we're also realistic. We have our meals on the weekends. We go out and eat pizza, we go out and live just like everybody else. We go out and have a beer and this and that. And that's what we try to show to everybody else that this isn't just like what we're doing is just not to put you on a diet. We're just trying to make a lifestyle change. We're trying to make it realistic towards you. Because if you put it towards, if I make it look like I'm eating healthy 24/7, nobody wants to do that. You know what I mean? They're scared of that. Like, you got to show the real side of you too. So,
yeah, like they say, everything in moderation, and you'll be all right. All right, so we're gonna transition from the home guy, the husband, father figure, back to the leadership figure, and talking about group dynamics and you know, leadership to an extent. What is the biggest key to really truly build a team? And you know, what's team building? When you think of the term team building, what do you think of? And you know, maybe one tip that anyone can use, regardless of how big or little their team is, that can help us out.
What helped us out a lot was the beauty of it is you get to pick who you want to work with. You know what I mean? Like I had my old job, I had guys I didn't like, but you get to pick who you work with, but then you also have the people that you think you want to work with, and it just doesn't turn out. I mean, I really don't have a tip for you actual team building, but it's just at the end of the day, it either rises to the top or it just sinks. You know what I mean? So
in your expert opinion, how do you get people to rally towards something, and how do you motivate them to accomplish, you know, the overall goal? Like, do you guys have a team goal, or is it just based off of a bunch of individual goals and at some point it connects for the bigger vision?
Well, before like I say, somebody says they're interested in our business, I mean, we have a sit down with them and we ask them, we get personal with them. I mean, we ask them what their goals are, what their purpose is and stuff like that. And then if they start to slack off, which they are, I mean, they're going to hit a wall, adversity. I mean, we bring up their goal. I mean, we bring up their purpose. Like you said, I mean, is this block in the wall? Is this adversity bigger than your purpose right now? I mean, their purpose may start off small, but then as time goes on, it evolves and we keep up with them. And then we use that as a motivator itself. You know what I mean? And at the point to where they're not on their own, but they start to build a team of their own, and then that their leadership comes in, and then leaders there at that point, when you're a leader, you really don't need little things to motivate you. You know what I mean? Now, like you should already have that fire, that, you know what I mean? You're like, for us, our team, I mean, we have all our purpose is always going to be our kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it trickles down to our team and their goals. You know what I mean? Like, for example, we had that teacher I was telling you about earlier. Her name's Sherry. She came home last year from her job because we were helping her do what she had to do to get home. You know what I mean? She built her income up so high, she left her job, her teaching job of 10 years to do what she has passion about. Now, and that right there, it's like, whenever I talk about that, it's like, wow.
That is wild.
Right? Like, I talked about it the other, like a couple months ago, and I, like, teared up. It's like, you helped that person come home. Now she's helping her husband come home, and now she's helping her, whoever's on her team, fulfill their goals. So it's like, it trickles down, and it's just an amazing feeling.
Yeah, so your goal is to, not goal, but like you want your team to build up their own team also? Is that what it is? Is that what like it comes down to?
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, we build our team, and then they build their team, and then their team, but it just goes on and on and on. Okay.
That's where you're basically pushing them to, is to build their own team and make them just as strong as how strong you guys are. That's what you want them to see. You want to see them rise to the top.
I would assume it's kind of like your own actual family, you want your kids to do better than you. So, yeah. And that business, it, you want the people, you know, your guys, your team to actually yet even be better than you. And it builds off that. But through the experience, Joe, you can, you know, tag on whenever you want. But through the experience, from my understanding, it's the example he's leading for his team. They'll eventually mature enough and come step into that role as Joe is, then they can be the Joe of their team.
Right.
And then it just kind of, the foundation just keeps getting, you know, stronger and stronger. Is that, is that right?
Yeah. Like we have a, like me and my wife, we have a, like a 90 day period. Like we'll take you under our wing for 90 days. And then it's like, you got to start having your own seminars. You got to start having, you know what I mean? Like you, we could still have our, we still hold our own team meetings for our whole team. You know what I mean? But like eventually we want you to grow, because who wants to be, have their hand held the whole time? I mean, we're still in close quarters with our whole team, but at the end of the day, it's like, I don't want to hold your hand. I'm not trying to make it sound negative, but it's like, we're all grown here. We're all leaders. And I want you to experience this for yourself. And I mean, like Heck said, we're leading by example, so they could see what we're doing. They could trickle it on to their team and their family.
Well said. So making the transition into my favorite topic, and that is personal development. Can you shed some light on personal development and what it means to you, or maybe your team or your business in general?
You know what? This is probably my favorite part about having our own business, is just the personal development. It not only had for me just in running our own business, just in, like I said before, being a father and being a friend and being a husband, just that personal development there. I mean, I've been coming out of my comfort zone, and that's what it's all about, man. It's just coming out of your comfort zone. It's not just one time comfort zone and, oh man, you're the best, you're free. It's every day. Every day you got to come out of your comfort zone. And it's made me grow. I mean, I've been doing things I'd never done before, reading and like I said before, training in front of other people and training. It's been an awesome experience, and just other people noticing too. Like, I go through it and you don't notice, I don't slow down to notice, but then you have like my family members and people from before, naysayers from before that didn't believe in it, saying, hey, like, this is really real. You're really doing great. I'm so proud of you. This and that. And it's an awesome feeling. That has to be my favorite part of this whole thing, is just the personal growth, the personal development, and just thinking outside the box, because I was thinking so much in the box, but this brought me out of my box, and it's hard to explain. It's just a crazy feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, for me, it was in 2006, I read a book, I got introduced to personal development, and that was it. It was this complete paradigm shift. It was almost like someone unveiling the curtains and like, this is real life, buddy. Yeah. And you're like, holy and it's like that mind-blowing. And it's kind of like what Joe's saying. It's hard to put into words. And that's because it is a paradigm shift. It's basically your one way of thinking got totally flipped upside down on its head. And you're like, what in the world is life right now? Because it's just like, it changes everything. And you appreciate things and you're growing. And you are my favorite part is exactly what Joe's favorite part is. You're becoming the best version of yourself, and you're constantly improving on it. And is that actually, I do see you have a Team Evolve t-shirt on. Is that where the name came from, or do you guys make that up, or is that kind of?
No, our leaders out in Seattle, Nate and Jen, they actually came up with the name. So yeah, that was their name before we even met them. But I think it's obviously the perfect name right now. That's what the point they were trying to get across too. I mean, everything evolves once you start once you start actually getting into the personal growth and stuff like that, your purpose evolves, just everything evolves.
That's awesome, because he just said they're from Seattle, and we're here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So those are your leaders? Like, those were the people you started out with?
Actually, those are our top leaders, but okay. A lady, her name's Cynthia, she used to live over in Seattle. She came back to Philadelphia.
Gotcha.
That's where her and Janine connected at Janine's old occupation, and then from there on, it was...
Yeah, but that's awesome how that just...
Yeah,
it goes about, man. It's like different sides of the coast, and it's going on. It's booming over here, so I can only imagine it's booming on the west. You know, like it's all over the place. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of the the Philadelphia Union AdvoCare promotion, like advertising for AdvoCare and stuff like that. So it's awesome. It's huge. It's good to see something booming out like that.
Yeah.
How long has this AdvoCare been around for?
24 years.
Really?
24 years, yeah, man. 24 years. That's like you said, it originated in Texas. So started down there, and then the West Coast, and we're started getting booming now in the Northeast. So me and Janine and a couple other leaders are trying to get it going and having some success with it. So
it looks like it's going well.
Yeah, a little bit.
For the listeners out there, we know Joe personally. We grew up with him, and he was a very reserved person, not in a negative way. He was just kind of just held back. He admittedly said he was an introvert, whatever. And then you said you started to, you know, you got introduced to the personal development industry. You started reading books. And your mindset changed, and you had this whole paradigm shift. Is there a specific book you can point to, or is it just like a collection of books that you kind of went into? Just on the whole book topic, was there one thing or one book that kind of stands out, or you know, one that you can throw out there or recommend for anyone to read?
It's not just one book, because when I read books, I read like, it depends on what season of life I'm going through. You know what I mean? That could help me out. Like when I got fired, to be completely honest, I was like, I was scared, and I was in my head a lot. Like I would sit down, and that would be the worst part. I would be in my head so much, telling myself I can't do this. I'm not as good as Janine. This and that. Blah blah blah. But then my good friend Nate from out Seattle, he recommended Crash the Chatterbox by Stephen Furtick. And that right there had me, just the stuff that Steven went through, I'm like, he's talking to me right now. It's like that. See, that got me out of my head. But then on a leadership topic, Above the Line by Urban Meyer. That was an awesome book, because that spoke my language too. It added a little bit of football into it. And that book went a long way with me. And all right, I'm going to recommend two more, because I like these two. just from an action standpoint, to get your butt up off your seat is this Grant Cardone, 10X rule.
Yeah.
And
do you have his socks?
No.
This guy sells anything that he could possibly get his hands on. Literally, if you go to this guy's website, he sells anything from flashcards to pencils to socks to toothpicks, whatever you could put 10X on, this guy sells. It's hilarious. So what's the so 10X, and what was the other one? And Stephen Furtick, by the way, he's a young pastor that is crushing it right now. He has been for a while, but he's bigger than ever right now, and he's my absolute favorite. I was actually up at 5 a.m. watching. He's on TBN, so channel 47 if you have Verizon, you're local. I was watching that this morning, and I was just like, this dude, I was already up, and he got me more up, and I was just excited to go take a shower. But it started my day the right way. But yeah, Stephen Furtick's the man. So go ahead, what's your the
best one? And well 10X, and then I'm 3/4 of the way through Be Obsessed or Be Averaged by Grant too. So so that one's going real good too. So if you haven't read that, check that out. So yeah, just them books right there. I mean, from an action, from a leadership, and from just a getting out of my own head aspect, those are the books that really kept me moving. So, and I wouldn't just say like pick up anything or read anything. Like, it depends on where in life you're at right now, what season of life you are. That's what I usually recommend to people, just to pick up something to help them get through what they're going through right now at this time.
Exactly. That's huge too. There's a book. It's a very old book. I don't even remember the author, and it's terribly written. But hit after reading so many personal development books, you start getting, okay, yeah, I know where this guy's going with this. But I still like to read them because every book still has, it's coming from that person's perspective, and yeah, they'll still put a twist on an old thought. Sure. Right. So I just enjoy reading them, even though if it's, you know, the guy probably shouldn't have been an author, but his point was, you know, well stated. And he talks about I think it's even called Negative Self-Talk, which is an awful title on top of that. But it was one of those things. It came in a bundle I bought. I don't know if it was Amazon or eBay or something like that. I bought like a personal development bundle. I got this bundle for like $25 and it came with like 10 books or something. Oh, like, okay, that. Yeah. So it was like a real nice, and this was one of the books. So it didn't really bother me, but it's kind of the whole chatterbox. It's if you actually stopped and listened to yourself, you talk yourself in and out of things every single day.
Oh, absolutely. Every day.
and it's actually kind of funny and scary at the same time. Just like Joe was talking about, he was kind of like in this that period of life where he's kind of like in a dark zone, so to speak. And if he sat down and looked at it and analyzed it, it was himself really just, you know, beating himself up or whatever the reason was, putting on these thoughts. So going from the book, going from personal development and using leadership, Joe, what are your thoughts on mentorship or coaching? Both, if you want to talk about if there's a difference to you, or, you know, how do you use this to your advantage to building your team?
Well, like I said before, I love it. I mean, I'm here for these people 24/7. I said, listen, you call me whenever you want, whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, whether it's a client of ours or if it's a team member. I mean, either way, it's just, I mean, I'm here for them, and it's just, that's where it made me grow too. It made me actually think about other people, because I was a selfish person before. I'm like, don't call me or this and that. Like, I would ignore a call or something like that. But that made me grow in some way. But honestly, it also could be stressful, because sometimes you want it for that person more than they want it for themselves. I mean, whether it be on a nutrition side or just a financial side. I mean, and that's where it comes from. You could lead a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink it, whatever, something like that. But all in all, just coaching and mentorship is the best I've ever encountered. You know what I mean? Like, I never would have thought in a million years that I would be giving somebody advice on nutrition. I would have never thought I would give somebody advice on finances and just building an empire, stuff like that. And it's just right, like, it still really hasn't hit me yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just roll with it, and someday it is gonna hit me, but I'm just here for all my people, all my clients, all my teammates, and it's been life changing, literally.
Fantastic. So being, you know, the leader, the mentor that you are, building a home-based business, you present people with a wealth-building opportunity on a daily basis. What is, if there is anything, one thing you would like the world to know, if the entire world was listening to you right now, to know about what you do and the opportunity that you have in your hands?
Take it seriously, man. Seriously, take it seriously. This isn't a gimmick. I mean, this is straight up business, and it's been, a lot of people are moving on to that entrepreneurship nowadays. I mean, this is not a gimmick. I mean, it's crazy. Like, we just hired an assistant. We hired a financial advisor. We're hiring people. It's like, I never thought in a million years that we would get to this point, but we're at this point right now to where it's like, we got to be like responsible. We have to be responsible with our finances. We have to be responsible with our clients, and we got to get a damn office instead of me sitting in my bedroom right now talking. No, no, but that'll all come in time. But no, it's one thing I would definitely want people to know, and just have an open mind. This is not a joke. This is not a gimmick. We're not out to scam people. We're here for the opposite. We're here for the people. We're here to shed light on just working from home and being your own boss. I mean, it is possible. I mean, that's all I really have to say.
Yeah. So presenting, you know, that statement and someone listening or someone eventually listening down the road, how can someone get in touch with you or get at least more information about the opportunity and you know, how can they contact you?
Oh, they can reach me and my wife through email. I mean, teamevolvecologne@gmail.com. I mean, you could email us whenever. I mean, even if there's no strings attached, if you just want to know just a little bit more, I mean, we're not going to force you to do anything. If you just want to know a little bit more, or if I didn't answer any questions that you have in your head right now that you weren't able to ask or anything like that, just contact me at teamevolvecologne@gmail and we'll try our best. No, we're going to do our best to get the questions asked.
And just so people are, you know, aware, is this for a specific person, gender, background, or is this for anyone wanting to, you know, live their dream?
No. Anybody, if you have a heartbeat, then you're good. I mean, but you also, like I tell people, I mean, the compensation, it's been a blessing, but we're not in that for that. I mean, we were at first, I mean, obviously, but then we slowed down. We're actually in it to help people. I mean, it may sound to other people corny, but we're actually here to help people, either if it's on the health side or if we're trying to help you on the financial side. And you have to be a people person. That's all. If you don't like people, you don't like talking to people, then I mean, maybe this just isn't for you, but you just have to be a people person. Yeah, you have to care about people. I mean, that's what AdvoCare stands for. It's advocates who care. So,
well said. And you know, you can just because you're an introvert doesn't mean you don't, you know, necessarily want to connect with people or talk with people. That is what Joe's team is in place for. Joe, again, admittedly said he was an introvert. He was kind of the reserved type. So that has nothing to do with it. So don't forget to contact Joe and Janine, even if it's, you know, information only. There's no, you know, like he said, there's no strings attached. Reach out to them. I know them personally. Their family. They are their intentions are in the best spot you can possibly be. If you want to ever connect with someone, even on just an information only basis, they're your go-to people. There you go. That's the old school little bit of edification right there. we're going to wrap this episode up with two quotes. The first one by Warren Bennis. It goes, "Leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality." And Warren Bennis, I apologize for not knowing you before finding this quote, but that is a fantastic, well said. I love stuff that's condensed and it's packed with meaning. And the second one, of course, by Andrew Carnegie, "Teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision. The ability to direct individual accomplishments towards organizational objectives. It is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results." Andrew Carnegie, thank you, sir. All right, that wraps it up. Episode number 51, Team Building Leadership. In this episode, we had special guest Joe Cologne, team building and leadership expert. The crew discusses what it means to be a true leader. Joe explains what team building means and its importance of building a successful business. We discuss motivation and how to effectively use personal development. and we get an expert's advice on true mentorship and close the discussion with an opportunity to build wealth. We wrap the episode up with quotes from Warren Bennis and Andrew Carnegie. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, don't forget to visit the website, JimmyLeeVelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@JimmyLeeVelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.